Welcome back to Good Food. I was in the restaurant business for nearly 30 years. I opened and closed 4 restaurants during that time. Even though I'm intimately familiar with the pain, frustration, and loss involved, I'm somewhat at a remove at this point. But when I read that over 70 restaurants closed in the last calendar year, it all came flooding back. Los Angeles Times reporter Stephanie Brazio joins us to talk about the year that killed LA restaurants. Hi, Stephanie. It's so great for you to come to talk to us about this.
Oh, Evan, thanks so much for having me back. I really appreciate it.
It's such a dramatic story. What were a few of the more notable closings? Maybe give us some venerable places that people will mourn first, and then maybe some newer that we didn't get a chance really to know very well.
You know, a few that I was really surprised to see were not one but 2 restaurants from Walter and Margarita Mansky. They're, of course, the fantastic chef couple behind restaurants like République and Bicyclette and Mansky. And late last year, they managed to close 2 of their restaurants, one being Sorry Sorry Store, their sort of more quick and casual Filipino restaurant within Grand Central Market. The other, of course, being Petty Cash Taqueria, which people loved for well over a decade. So you see huge names. Wes Avila, of course, who was a chef founder of Gorilla Tacos, started his, you know, sort of walk-up window and restaurant, Ingrid Egret Dinette, in Chinatown about 3 years ago. He closed that as well. He has a new project coming later this year. So it is sort of shocking to see the large names. Nancy Silverton, she closed a steakhouse, the Bearish, that was inside the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And then you have sort of smaller or lesser known restaurants that were still lauded and acclaimed and wonderful. Needle, a Cantonese restaurant in Silver Lake. Kin, which was gaining so much speed. And as our critic, fantastic Bill Addison, had said, was planning on including Kin on, of course, the 101 list this year for the LA Times. And Kin closed in winter of this year as well. So places big, small, places that have been there for 70 plus years, places that have been open only a couple of months. It's really shocking to look at the sort of breadth of the kinds of closures.
Talking with these owners must have been so difficult. Was there a commonality to the reasons that they gave for closing?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I think that what a lot of them stressed was the fact that restaurants are still recovering from the pandemic and the pandemic closures. And even though I'm sure to many diners, it looks like restaurants have made it out of the woods, they made it through shutdowns, they pivoted, they found ways to reopen again eventually. A lot of restaurateurs and chefs are still in the hole for back rent. They're still owed and paying off a number of expenses from that. You know, it's also the fact that although people were out and spending money this year, as a number of studies showed, a lot of restaurateurs have said that that wasn't necessarily reflected in dining out habits. And of course, inflation has been a big story this year, and diners have felt that, whether it was the cost of gas going up or the cost of groceries going up. And usually when people are feeling the pinch, one of the first things that they historically cut out is, of course, dining expenditures and going out.
Were you able to get specific comparisons from anyone comparing their business before and during the writer's strike? Because that certainly had to have an effect.
Absolutely, yeah. In, I believe it was spring, even before SAG-AFTRA went on strike, I wrote a story on the effects of the WGA strike on restaurants, especially those who relied on a lot of business in terms of set catering, studio events, even business lunches. A number of them said that they were down, you know, as much as, you know, 30-40%. The strike has greatly affected Los Angeles restaurants. And while it's been a tough year for restaurants across the country, Los Angeles especially.
I was particularly struck by your conversation with Walter Mansky. What did he say was particularly difficult?
Well, it's interesting because when I spoke with Walter, we spoke a lot. And I think that one of the things that was surprising is just how much everyday mundane expenses can set a restaurant back, and that it isn't just the cost of ingredients that have gone up, but even the cost of, you know, parts and labor in terms of, you know, I believe he used the example of getting your oven fixed. If your oven goes down and you're a restaurant, you can't put that off. And it could be thousands of dollars out of your pocket, out of nowhere. So even the cost of basic maintenance for restaurants has gone up, in addition to the things that, you know, we see all the time on the news in terms of ingredients and, of course, the rising minimum wage. You know, it's a lot of little things that might not even be perceptible to most diners that are going on behind the scenes.
I want to thank you so much for the reporting that you've done around this, and we'll be very interested to see further work you do. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Evan. Always a pleasure.
That was LA Times staff writer Stephanie Brejo talking about how brutal 2023 was for Los Angeles restaurants. For a link to her story, head to our website, kcrw.com/goodfood.